Great. Thank you so much for inviting me to this. Thank you for the tremendous organization that this is a part of. And thank you all for being here. These presentations and discussions have been so incredibly inspiring. So let me begin in a place that will not be terribly inspiring, but please bear with me for a few more sentences. I will begin with, of all people, Milton Friedman. He has already been mentioned before, of course. And as you well know, Milton Friedman is the architect of the vision of economic theory that we now come to call neoliberalism. He didn't invent neoliberalism, but he's really the figure that made the popular version of it, that really took over America, took over first economics departments, and then took over U.S. policy, became the defining feature of the Washington Consensus by the 1990s, and has become the hallmark of the entire global order. However, in an early moment of Milton Friedman's career, when he was still seen as this very bizarre radical figure that, of course, no one would ever listen to, he wrote an article in which he has a passing sentence that he learned very well to never, ever, ever utter again, in which he said, he was, of course, laying out the arguments that we have come to know very well, saying, well, we need to build an order in which we realize that humans are simply based on rational self-interest. We are at our best if we're in a market of endless competition. The more we can create an entire world of competition, not just in the marketplace, but in governance and education, even in families, the more the entire world functions as endless competition among rational self-agents is the degree to which, of course, he will argue we will create a better, in his very unique definition of the term, world. So that we know very well, but then he has this passing sentence where he actually says, now, of course, I know humans aren't really only like this. Humans are complex. Yeah, we have a tendency toward competitive self-interest. There's more to us, but if we could actually create an entire global order in which all government policy, all education, the entire system operated according to these principles, we will over time create a world that functions this way, because of course the means for self-advancement will be precisely to play this game. Those who do so will actually become the elites. They will come to control the levers of power and governance and education, etc. That, of course, will inspire that next generation to do the same. And even though it's not an empirically accurate description of the world will become this way. Now, Milton Friedman himself, as he went from being this radical, bizarre figure to becoming an international celebrity, learned quickly to drop that terminology, and his own followers, if they ever read that passing sentence, also learned to drop it, but I'm not even sure they would have understood the sentence within a generation or two, because, of course, once this becomes the dominant ideology, the whole point of it is you must actually act as if that really is the way the world operates. And therefore, openly saying, we know this isn't really true, we're constructing a world that operates this way, is precisely, of course, what you should never, ever do. Now, I am going to use that passing moment, that one moment in Milton Friedman's life where he was being honest about what he was up to, more honest than most of his followers, I think, and delve into some larger topics. That one sentence is about the only sentence from Milton Friedman's entire career that I suspect the body of theory that I'll be talking about for the rest of my talk, namely one that arose in the classical Chinese tradition, it's the one sentence they would agree with. Because I'm working with a body of classical Chinese theory that will make the following argument. Humans are just messy creatures. We're these messy creatures with tons of different energies. They get pulled out depending on our immediate environment, and the whole world is equally messy, constantly just responding to things around it. And that's the world. And then the ways that humans construct the worlds we live in is we fall into habits and patterns and ruts that define our relationships, it defines the worlds we build, it defines our entire mode of interaction with those around us. And, chillingly, these habits, ruts, and patterns can become so ingrained in us that we just come to think this is the world we're living in. It just is natural. And the result is we can become dangerously passive creatures, endlessly repeating patterns and habits without even realizing the degree to which we have unconsciously, or at least unintentionally, created this world that we come to see as natural. Now, the political theorists working out of these theories will go different directions. Some will think, this is great. Because if humans are like this, and I think sadly it's a pretty accurate definition of how we do in fact empirically operate, if this is true, imagine if we could create a world in which, say, states would so define the habits of a population by, through particularly focusing on education systems, training people into certain patterns of thought that will guide them to doing what we in the state want them to be doing without them really aware of what's going on, because with the patterns and ruts, you literally don't see what's going on around you. And imagine we could organize the world this way so people would just think it's the natural world they're operating in, and they wouldn't realize they're actually being governed by a, in the case that they were thinking of, a very powerful state, because they will just think it's their life. And the key for doing this is you must make the whole world of their experience operate this way. The way they are trained, the way they are raised, the way they are educated, the entire means of social advancement. So not everyone will do it, but those who will be successful will do it, and that will create a self-reproducing system. So over time, you don't even need people on top who are aware that this is what you're doing. It will start working on its own terms. Now, their point would be, if we could do this, it would create such a self-reproducing system in which people would come to see it as natural. And of course, the danger is, simply, nothing ever works perfectly. So as they themselves point out, you're never going to create this perfectly. So to flip to the more recent example, if they, these theorists I'm talking about, were looking at Milton Friedman, and more importantly, looking at the world Milton Friedman, to I'm sure his own surprise, helped successfully create, what they would have said was that one sentence of Milton Friedman was correct. If he could create this world, which stunningly, not just he, but those theories did in fact create, it would result in a world where literally people would come to think of their lives and the world as operating this way. But there would be a danger that you have to be aware of. That danger is the simple fact that it will never be flawless, because people are messy. We have lots of patterns, but being messy, there's no system that so could flawlessly capture that messiness that everything really would operate this way. So these theorists looking at Milton Friedman would have immediately said, okay, let's imagine a bizarre scenario where government, educational centers, businesses accepted your vision. Unlikely, but since we know historically that's exactly what happened, they would then, let's move to the next stage of the argument. If such a thing were to happen, note, it still would not be completely successful. Because yes, those who were successful would be part of this self-reproducing system. They would learn very early on in school systems designed to sort of train them this way. This is how you get ahead. That's how you make it into the elite schools. Those elite schools will train you to make it into the top financial systems. The whole way you'll be trained not to see the world around you. It'll all be about simply working for your own rational self-interest. You will be successful. The companies you're working for will be successful. You literally will not see the world around you. You won't see a problem. All of that, they would have said to Milton Friedman, sadly, you're right. This would work. But there's a problem, because there will be people who won't be falling into this. There will be people who will feel left behind, because either they won't be very good at playing the competitive game, or the competitive game will just create sectors of the economy that will literally leave them behind. Or they will be born into families where they can't make it into the schools that will properly train them into those elite positions that will drive them forward. And you will inevitably create a group of incredibly angry, resentful people who feel they are left behind by the system. And moreover, you need to always be aware that patterns have consequences. So if you construct a world, it will not only create a group of resentful people feeling left out of the great meritocracy you're supposedly building, but that very world is going to have consequences too, which could feed into the first problem too. Imagine, Milton, if you create this world, you're obviously going to create a world of unbelievable social and economic inequality. The economic inequality, those who are successful and those who are not. The social inequality of those who are economically unsuccessful, feeling correctly that they have no means of access to this ever-growing elite culture that's growing and growing and growing in both power and wealth. And that group feeling left out, already angry and resentful, and then correctly feeling they have no opportunities in the system, that anger and resentment will overwhelm the system. You've got to be aware of that. Milton, needless to say, forgot his sentence. To the degree to which he even would have thought through the remainder of what I've mentioned, he obviously didn't, nor did his followers. And regardless, once it became a self-perpetuating system, all of that was forgotten. And you would think when certain crises occur, that would have been wake-up points, but as the theorist I'm working on would say, of course they won't. Once you're in these patterns, crises don't in themselves force a break. They force a momentary oops, but then you just keep going. To give a not random example, the 2008 financial crisis happens. Maybe that's a wake-up call. Maybe this is a moment to say the world we're creating is a little bit dangerous. No. 2008 happens, and does the field of economics, does higher education, does the working of businesses in America change one bit? Not a bit. Everything simply returns back to normal, and the system keeps going. Then, lo and behold, we have globally now, because it's a global system, an angry, resentful population, feeling themselves correctly, I might add, economically devastated through increasing social inequality, unable to gain any access to change the world because they are literally now cut out of the self-perpetuating elite culture, and kabam, the response happens. These radical right-wing populist movements trying to overthrow the system, which of course themselves can be, and perhaps are being taken, of course, by people who really don't want to change the system, but simply want to use that anger and resentment to perpetuate the system in yet another way. These theorists would have said, if Milton had thought that through back then, at least he could have created a successful system because he would have known you need some people who are also, while you're training everyone to just be in these patterns and not seeing the world around them, you need a few who actually are aware of what's going on. But let me use my remaining moments to give the more optimistic discussion. All of these theorists I've been discussing are the ones who are all about creating these powerful states. They would have loved Milton's sentence, they just thought he wasn't able to see through the implications and do what else would have needed to be done. But the theorists I've been talking about also have their critics. Building out of a very comparable understanding of humans, pointing out, yes, we have this tendency to fall into patterns and ruts, and sure enough, you could build entire socio-political worlds based upon those patterns and habits. But imagine a scenario where we, recognizing this, also recognize that if humans are messy, we are potentially able to grow out of our ruts and patterns. Imagine actually creating an education system not aimed at getting people into these ruts and patterns and keeping them there into the self-perpetuating system. Imagine an education system that would be based on training people to begin to see the world around them, to begin to see that the world around us is a constructed world that either we have constructed unintentionally or in some cases has been constructed by very powerful forces above us. Regardless, it's constructed, but because it's constructed, it could be changed and constructed better. And imagine if your entire education system was aimed at training people to see the world, see these constructions, and self-consciously begin trying to rework the world. And imagine if you had an education system aimed this way, where you're not just having, as you know, the political theorists I've been mentioning, who want to create a successful state, a few people on top who see what's going on. Imagine if you're trying to create entire generations of people trained to rethink the world. And if they're trained to rethink the world, maybe they could see the dangerous trajectories we're on. They would be willing to actually rework the world. They would be willing to rework the larger implications. They would be willing to deal with those larger implications that even the groups left out of the Milton Friedman system are not willing to deal with, things like climate change, et cetera, which is a direct response to all, which a direct consequence, I should say, of all of these economic and political policies. Imagine a generation that was trained to actually begin to see the world as patterns, as a constructed world, but therefore potentially a changeable world. If you could imagine such a world, it would be extraordinary, but just as early Milton Friedman probably never dreamed he could ever be as successful as he was, well, we might dream, or we might think, no one could ever create an educational system based along the lines I'm talking about. Well, if we listen to Milton Friedman, couldn't we listen to other theorists too? And let me just close by asking some bigger questions. Could you not imagine a world in which classical Chinese theorists would be taught right alongside of a Milton Friedman, in which theories that have arisen around the world about how humans operate are taught as just part of the basics of an education system, in which some of these ideas, obviously for me, the ones I just mentioned, would actually be baked into how you do it. So you're actively trying to think, how do we build an education system in which people aren't just reading these theorists, but you are actually training people to see the world? If such a thing were possible, do we have examples? Well, yeah. I mean, there are education systems built on the ideas we're mentioning. Why don't we know about them? Because we have an education system that never, ever discusses them. But it is there. So imagine an education system where people were learning about theories and practices of education, state building, economy building from throughout human history. We're taking those seriously and actually implementing the powerful ideas. Could that change the world? Well, even Milton Friedman thought probably when he wrote that sentence, it doesn't matter, I can say the sentence because no one's going to listen to me. I'm actually not going to change the world. Well, boy, do we know he did. And boy, therefore, do we know ideas can change the world, and some extraordinary ones that have arisen globally throughout world history could equally dramatically change the world if we take them seriously, build educational systems upon them, and allow that new generation to, imagine this, see the world around them and actually change it. Thank you so much.